Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I know we haven't done these a lot lately because it's been NFL season, a lot to go over, but a little bit of a fantasy segment right here. Who would you root for if they weren't a direct threat to your favorite teams? Now, one of the reasons this came up is going back to our Jackson Dart conversation because he loves Star Wars. And so I started thinking about it as, like, if they weren't a direct threat to one of my favorite teams, which athletes do you think that you guys would root for? Is there anybody who comes to mind? Because I came up with one in all four of the major sports.
Oh, really?
I can lead off if you like.
All four of them?
All four of them. And in fact, you face one of them this weekend. Oh. I think I would root for Jaden Daniels if he weren't a rival to my favorite NFL team. He feels like a fun person. He is definitely a fun player. He has been objectively outstanding so far. And it's always good to see that, like, kind of potential quarterback hierarchy thrown for a loop, and he has the potential to do it. So I think I would root for Jaden Daniels if he weren't a threat to one of my favorite teams or to my favorite football team.
This is my favorite answer from the 469, Jerry Jones.
What's your point?
I think his point or her point,
Jerry, is
that
the direct
you
threat
are a direct threat to our favorite team. Well, that is unfortunate, but I guess that does kind of make sense.
Okay. Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid was my hockey
answer.
Okay,
I'm going to change mine then.
No, that makes sense. Because there's something about Leon Draisaitl that just irritates me.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That I don't think I would root for him.
Because you hear his name too much.
Yeah.
You hear Connor McDavid's name all the time because he's Connor McDavid.
Yes.
You hear Draisaitl's name all the time because he did something to your team.
Yeah.
Not because he's just, like, that good.
And so, like, Connor McDavid is the best player in the NHL, and his response was, I want to stay with my team, so I'm going to take a pay cut, a huge pay cut, but also put the pressure on them to know, if you can't get this together, I am going to leave. So I'm going to say that.
Yeah, no, I'll go with Cade Makar because he's the Miro for Colorado. You know, he's the dude can fly. Like, he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And that's, people get really upset when you're like, man, Tim Duncan this. They're like, whatever, Tim Duncan's the worst. Tim Duncan was great. And whenever you're watching, you get the chance to watch greatness, I think you should enjoy the greatness that it is because you're a sports fan.
Right.
I can also compartmentalize my team and be excited about that. Jackson Dart is probably going to become that for me. Because I'm taking a little bit of, I had all these predictions on him earlier.
Right.
And they're starting to kind of come to fruition. And so that's probably it. He's got an exciting throw. But he's in the future. He's probably gonna be not a single one of the Eagles players though. That's a fact.
I did not put any Eagles players on the list from the 972. McDavid, Chet, Yordan, and Scataboo.
Yordan is mine too.
Ooh.
Yordan Alvarez. Now, the thing is, he's just injured every day. But he is, if he was healthy all the time, he might be the most electric hitter in baseball. Like, I'm terrified of what he can do. So yeah, Yordan Alvarez and his super skinny legs.
So I don't know if you...
You ever seen his legs, Alec? You're laughing right now.
They are.
Yeah. They're skinny.
Alec, I want to know who yours would be, especially if you've got one for baseball. For baseball, I went with Cal Raleigh because his story is really cool, but also he is one of the people preventing my favorite team from winning the division. He is.
No, he's not.
They won the division.
The Rangers prevented themselves from winning that division this year. Be real. That was on them.
So, does that mean I need to pick a Rangers player? Should I have said Adolis? Like, if we're going with that Jerry Jones logic. And so, Cal Raleigh was somebody that I do think is a lot of fun. And at times, I feel like I'm almost going to root for him. But then I remember he's in our division and he is a nemesis. I know he's not Astros' nemesis, but still.
Yeah, I've tried to think of like people in division, but I kind of just hate all of them. So I'm just thinking about across the sport. For baseball, for me, it's Tarek Skubal. I could watch him pitch any day. Like I'm probably going to catch myself after the postseason is over watching his season highlights a couple times just because he's that good.
Okay,
like, I can watch him pitch any day of the week. If we want to think in division, another pitcher that I really like is George Kirby, even though he didn't do too great yesterday. I think he's phenomenal. He can throw any pitch in the book, really. I mean, I still go back to the 23 season, that last game that really took our morals down. Whenever he said, you know what, I've never thrown a knuckleball in my life. How about I try it in the last game of the season and get 14 million swings and misses off of it. He's really fun to watch too. And then a name that comes up in basketball for me, not in the conference, but Tyrese Haliburton. If I wasn't a diehard Mavs fan, I think Tyrese Haliburton would probably be, if I was like a player fan more than a team fan, I'd probably be a fan of the Pacers just because of Haliburton. Even though he's not going to play this year, which stinks, I think he's electric. I don't think he gets enough good conversation surrounding him. And I remember the Athletic put out their player poll this past season where players said he was the most overrated player.
Yeah,
because they think he's corny.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't think he's corny whatsoever. He does have some quirks to him, but I think he's one of the best players in basketball, and he's a great leader, too.
Yeah, and look, I believe already at this point in his career, he's made more game-tying and game-winning clutch shots than Kobe. So, like, just think about how mind-blowing that is.
He lives for the moment, and I love players like that. I really do.
Now, I think this is an interesting point from the 469. Alec, do you think it's possible that Corey didn't say any Eagles players because they are his team, not a threat to his team?
And
so that's why he didn't want to say that.
Smarter than the average bear.
That's an interesting hypothesis.
No, that's not what happened.
That's what liars would say.
Victor Wembanyama, I think
I'm going to root for him anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
Against the Mavs?
Yeah.
What the hell did you just say? Rooting for a good game.
I want both teams to
have fun. Stop it. Here's the deal.
I think the Mavericks are going to beat the Spurs. So, that, like, I don't even think. When I think threat, right now I don't think the Spurs are there yet. Now,
do you think the Mavs are there?
I think the Mavs are going to be good, dude. I'm excited about the Mavs.
How good?
Number one team.
Oh, man. I'll take that wager.
In defense.
Okay.
I have three in the NBA, though.
Okay.
One that I hate, and I don't know if I would actually root for him.
Okay.
But I respect the ability to draw fouls that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander draws.
Oh.
He irritates the crap out of me, dude. But his game, take the drawing fouls away, and the rest of his game, I think, is awesome.
How come Shai is supposedly a free throw merchant, but Giannis isn't?
You need to stop that right now, okay? We're talking about Shai, not Giannis.
Okay.
All right?
Well, Giannis was in our YouTube chat earlier.
You serious?
He was.
It had the whole name, and then Alex said it put up the player profile picture from NBA.com, and then they put a comment, you guys want to trade Cooper Flagg for me? And so I just thought that was a good,
But Shea has this, like, he does, there's something about all the little things he does to draw a foul irritate me, but everything else about his game, I'm like, I'm really impressed by. But and then it's Jokic, obviously, because he's easy to root for. I think he's in the same place with Wemby for you, Kevin.
Okay.
Where you're just like, I would root, I'll root for the guy.
Yeah.
And, but it's got to be, it's probably Anthony Edwards. Because, man, he still hasn't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's that one that, like, I love the attitude. I love all these things that he does.
Now, I know a lot of people are saying Luka, and that makes sense to me. But
you're already rooting for Luka.
Yeah.
Don't deny it.
There's an NFL name that I've seen pop up numerous times on here, and I think you're free to cheer for this person.
Jalen Hurts?
No, but of course that's what you'd say.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Bijan Robinson. Like, maybe you meet the Falcons in the playoffs, but I don't ever think of the Falcons as like a direct threat to the Cowboys.
So you're saying go ahead and root. That's how I feel about Wemby then. I don't think think he's a real threat.
But I can tell you, okay, that is an interesting hypothesis.
Yeah.
But I've seen so many big time Mavs Spurs games that I find it hard to inherently root for a Spurs player.
I get it.
Like, I haven't seen big time Cowboys Falcons games again and again, you know, where I'm like, oh man, you got to get past the Falcons if you're going to make the Super Bowl. Or obviously the Falcons could say the same thing about the last generation of the Cowboys. So I don't ever think of the Falcons as a rival, where it's been programmed into me for like 25 years that you got to beat the Spurs. And I realize, like, that's not where they are right now. Sidney Crosby. I think Sidney Crosby fits into the Bijan category as well. It's like, there haven't been like big time Stars Penguins showdowns. So I think it's okay to root for that person.
Man, this actually, I did not think of this person, but from the 817, I think they're dead on. Fred Warner. Fred Warner is the type of player that every single defensive coordinator would want as their middle linebacker.
Yeah.
He covers so much. The circle around him is gigantic. The radius that he can take up is huge. He flies to the ball. He hits hard. He's a leader. He's got all those qualities that you want. And he is a Niner. And that stinks. But if in the theory that you've put out here, he's the epitome. Now I'm changing mine from Jackson Dart to Fred Warner. That's the one. 817, you did it.
What about Aaron?
You win.
What about Aaron Judge? Is that the same kind of, like, I just can't find myself particularly rooting for a Yankees player? Although I guess we've seen the Yankees be a threat to the Rangers plenty of times. So maybe Aaron Judge is the definition of the answer to this question.
Aaron Judge is an interesting thing, because I know you're heavily invested in his cards.
And he does not need off-season surgery. That's a good thing.
Look at how much he knows about this Yankees player.
But that just feels like a sports thing people would know.
His window is going to be smaller, correct?
Sure.
Because he's older, 34? You know?
34?
Yeah,
he's older than people think.
But how is his window 6 years, 7 years? Where are we at right now?
No.
And I'm not saying the future. How far back do we go where you went, Aaron Judge?
Oh, I honestly think it goes back to 8 years ago.
Okay.
He had a monster season, his first full season.
Do you think
in the
he's going to compile the stats that put him in the, like, could be the greatest of all time category?
No.
But he has seasons that you're like, oh my gosh.
Look, three of his last four seasons, I think, are some of the most incredible offensive seasons we've ever seen. Now, it's going to get a little tricky, because if he doesn't win the MVP, then you're going to be like, all right, so you're telling me a non-MVP season is one of the greatest we've ever seen. So I get it. But, like, so he didn't start really, really playing until he was 25, which that still sounds young. But a lot of these players, like Soto, like Harper, they got 19. Started when they were 19. Yeah. But I still think at the pace he's at right now, Aaron Judge is still going to get 500 home runs. He's still going to have more than 1,000 RBIs. Right now, his all-time career OPS is above one.
Okay.
And those are banana stats. So he's a Hall of Famer if he stops playing right now. At least that's what I think. Maybe some people will disagree with me.
But
I think it's
you
a
think
done
you'd
deal.
Put him in the Hall of Fame? Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
I don't know. There's only like, I think you only get like 10 people.
I described it earlier. I'm in on the conversation. I described it to Alec as the Super Hall of Fame, I think. I don't know because Aaron Judge is one of those people that I think the next 4 years will decide that, right? Because let's say he continues to play like this. What's he going to win? 2 or 3 more MVPs? Mm-hmm. And so he could end up having 5, which would be the second most of all time, depending on what Shohei continues to do. So maybe, or he could have like solid seasons that get him to 500 and the Yankees still don't win jackass. And you're like, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really not sure which way that's going to go.
I can't believe this person from the 903, Jake Eichel, Brock Purdy, Jack. Connor Hellebuck. Yeah.
Man,
if I would have
Kevin
known,
has to plan it. Obviously, that this was going to come up, I would have music ready for you. But
you still like that song?
I do.
Gosh.
Because you've met me, because it pisses people off. And so, like, I'm a fan of that. This first time we've met, you know. When we were talking about people who have the inherent ability to push people's buttons, I think Bobby's one of those people, and I think I am too.
It's a fact.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here. Ooh, Matthew Tkachuk. That's a good one. On 105.3, The Fan. Well, soon he'll be on the Stars. Coming up next, it's time for NFL overreaction or reality. Plus, we'll get the campus connection fired up. Big weekend in the SEC, the Tokyo Toe, and how did buyouts get this bad? Next on The Fan.
Snap to Prescott, throws a slant right, caught Pickens. 25-20, 15-10, first touchdown. Pickens in the end zone again. The most touchdowns in a season in his professional career. Sixth of the year, 34 yards, and the Cowboys regain the lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for NFL overreaction or reality.
Now, overreaction.
Wrong. It's a reality. So I know Steven and Jerry have been like, meh, not necessarily. But just looking at this stat, NFL field goals 50 yards or longer have been made 71.3% of the time. In the first 86 seasons of the NFL, there were 4 field goals of 60 yards or more. This season, there have been already 4. So we've matched that number.
Oh, juice balls.
I mean, maybe those K balls make them a K minus. Then we'll see how it goes. Overreaction or reality? You shut up. You would like to see the NFL change something up that makes kicking field goals more difficult.
Kevin, I've told you on multiple occasions, I hope Brandon Aubrey never has to kick a field goal.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Hi, DSW. birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Yes.
Not because I don't like Brandon Aubrey.
I got it.
But just because I would rather have seven. I recently learned that Nate Newton and I are aligned.
Oh.
As he hates kickers.
Oh.
And I don't think he hates the people, you know, that kick.
Kind of sounds like it the way you just said that.
But he said the only time he ever wants to see a kicker is on kickoffs and whenever you need to win the game.
Oh, man. He's like, hey, you piece of ass, go out there and win the game.
Yeah, I didn't want you to do anything earlier. Because as an offense, your mindset should be, we need to get seven. And if we don't get seven, we're disappointed, right?
Yeah.
So that's where I am. I don't care what the rules are.
Okay.
I at this point, I do want to see a 70-yarder.
Okay.
So I don't want them to change the rules to make it more difficult, because I do want to see, dude, how awesome would a 70-yard walk-off be?
Yeah.
I don't want to see any other. You know what? As a matter of fact, Kevin, I don't think you should be allowed to kick field goals the entire game until the very end. And then it can be 70 yarders. I'm in.
Can we add an addendum that you can kick field goals during the game, but it has to be at least 70 yards?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to kick field goal, you're like, nope, you're too close. That's 48 yards. No dice.
Dude.
Okay. I don't know.
I love this idea. No, I really do. And I think the competition committee should push for this. If it's within 30 yards, we're not doing it. Sorry, you guys need to try to score or turn the ball over if you're on the 30-yard line or closer. That's what I'm going to say, 30-yard line or closer.
All right.
I love this idea.
Alec, would you like to see the NFL make field goals more difficult, whether it's, you know, enclosing the goalposts a little bit or this wild alternate theory that we've come up with?
I love wild alternate theories and switching things up, but honestly, I think the long field goal is very exciting. I like how it is right now, and I do think that there's got to be something playing into the idea that they can, you know, actually practice with these footballs, and they're not practically brand new when they're handed to them on game day. There's something to that. I don't care. I want to see the record get broken this year. I want it to be Brandon Aubrey, but I don't care who does it. I want to see the record broken.
A stupid timeout kept it from happening.
Exactly. Like, I'm here to see history, Kevin, so don't change my route to history.
Okay. Now, I put a lot of thought into this next question, and I can give you some information if it helps you decide. NFL overreaction or reality, George Pickens will have a better Cowboys career than Amari Cooper. Now, there are lots of things at play here. Amari Cooper, 2-time Pro Bowler here with the Cowboys, 2 1,000-yard seasons.
George Pickens is going to have 1 year here.
Okay, and that's the thing. Because when George Pickens said, I wouldn't mind staying in Dallas, guys in the locker room are super cool, the energy's great, but like I said, I always want to showcase my talent. I think people have made way too big of a deal out of this. If you give him $30 million, he'll sign here. If you don't, he won't. Like, I think it's quite frankly as simple as that.
Do you think the Cowboys are trying to figure a way out to give him $30 million?
Yes, and I think that way is a franchise tag, and I don't know if that's going to work how they think.
Who's his agent?
Is he Mulligetta's agent?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know what he's going to do? Show up with his hoodie on.
Oh, okay.
You'll get a second opinion.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would
presume. That's what I said. I don't think it's going to work out how they think.
I do believe, like, that's how Mulligetta does with most of his clients that get that.
But on the flip side, George Pickens tied for the league lead in receiving touchdowns already, third in receiving yards. Him and Amari Cooper are the only Cowboys players since 1970 to have at least 500 receiving yards and six touchdowns in their first six games with the Cowboys. Hence the question, George Pickens, or statement, George Pickens will have
overreaction.
Okay. I almost thought you were going to say over reality, and I was excited about what that meant. Alec.
Because CeeDee Lamb's coming back. And that's going to change. His numbers aren't going to be the same.
Sure. Overreaction reality. George Pickens will have a better Cowboys career than Amari Cooper.
Ooh. Overreaction. Just because even if he does stay here beyond this year, which right now, if I was a betting man, which I'm not that smart, I would probably say he's going to be here next year. I don't think he will just because he's not going to get the volume. And I do think Amari Cooper was a better route runner than him. Okay. So I think certain parts, if you really start breaking down his game, I think Amari Cooper was just a better player in general. I think Pickens is better at certain things than Cooper was. But I think just the length of time and the volume that Amari Cooper got in his time in Dallas is going to supersede that.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Ravens can salvage their year if Lamar Jackson returns for their next game, which by all indications he will.
Overreaction. Yeah, Dak's dealing with the same thing right now. No matter how good you are offensively, your defense is garbage.
Yeah.
And you have to fix that defense. I don't know if they can. Same defensive coordinator who over the last couple of years, you've seen it slowly decline. Yes. And so that's where I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're going to get exciting offensive games out of those. But whenever it comes to crunch time, you need a defense that can get you a win and close game for you.
Alec, I will ask the same question to you, but it comes with a bonus question.
Oh, no.
If Baltimore misses the playoffs, Harbaugh will be fired.
Ooh, I like this, actually. Fully agree with Corey on the first one. I do think you're going to get exciting offensive games, but like he said, when it matters most, I don't want to put any faith in anything that's going on there. Will Harbaugh get fired if they miss the playoffs? I've come to think that Baltimore's brain trust is very much like the Cowboys in terms of comfort. Like when they get comfortable with somebody and the idea of something, they're not going to give up on it until it's absolutely brutal. And, you know, I was wrong. I thought with Drew Aller getting hurt for Penn State that he was going to save James Franklin for another year. Mm. That was wrong. But I do think that's going to be their argument if he sticks around is, well, we didn't have Lamar all year and the defense was banged up. We had a Pro Bowl roster worth of inactives for a couple games. So I'm going to say overreaction, even though I think it should be a reality.
Kevin, can I throw an overreaction or reality in the mix?
As long as you answer my bonus question.
Oh, Harbaugh? I don't think he's getting fired.
Okay.
Defensive coordinator first. Overreaction or reality? Man, that felt good to say.
It's fun.
Matt LaFleur thinks that his opinion matters to the referees.
Oh, that's a reality.
Matt LaFleur on the officials when it calling it when Micah Parsons is held. That's definitely going to be a conversation pregame.
Okay, we are on the same page here.
Did we never have the conversation? Did McCarthy never have that conversation with the referees?
Yeah, I guess not. I guess not. But you know what? We're on the same page. I'm so glad that you asked that because my answer is reality. My bonus question, NFL referees are worse than ever. So LaFleur, in addition to that, remember at the beginning of the week, he said egregious, and Mike Vrabel calls the refereeing comical. Overreaction to reality, the referees are worse than ever, and you agree with Matt LaFleur.
I can't say that for two reasons. Do you remember that time, was it Tyler Lockett? Pushed the guy in the end zone and then caught the ball to win the game.
Yes.
And the referee's
yes.
Eh. And then do you also remember that time that the Rams and Saints played that football game?
Man.
And the guy got
they had
tackled
to have a straight up meeting
out of bounds
about that,
and the ball landed where he was? Those are the two worst moments I can remember in ref history. So right now, maybe, but I'm going to go overreaction.
All right.
I think every year we're overreacting about how bad officials are.
I think they're actually probably pretty good. I think that's a fair point. All right, Alec, I'm going to start with you on this last one. Overreaction or reality? You believe CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Booker, and Kevontae Turpin are all going to play on Sunday?
I do. That's a reality.
Hell yeah!
I mean, the math is mathing there, and I heard Tommy Yarish with the morning show today say that he can confirm CeeDee Lamb breathed yesterday, which means, in Brian Schottenheimer's mind, that he's ready to go. So I think everybody's going to be available. Everybody sounded pretty confident, from the coach to Stephen Jones to Jerry. Everybody seems pretty confident. I'm going to take their word for it. Usually Stephen is the one I rely on for the clear answers on that, because I very vividly remember being at Taco Bueno, not the Forest location, sadly. I didn't get to see the Lorax. I asked Jerry if Jadeveon Clowney was going to make his debut, and then at 3 o'clock on the same day, Steven said, nah, that's not going to happen. So Steven sounded confident. I feel confident.
I'm not as confident that BB's going to be out there. Am I wrong about that?
No, just kind of hearing
a couple people.
No, that is correct.
That's the one that I'm waiting on. I would love Booker to be out there, man. I liked him.
All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Good segment, fellas. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Alec, if you could go ahead and give me cut number 8, because it's time for the Campus Connection.
So third and goal now from the 11. Mendoza looks, steps into one. End zone. Touchdown. E.J. Williams goes up high.
And of course, to get this going, we bring on Carter Freeman from Fan University. Carter, when and where can I hear Fan University?
This Saturday, 9 to 11, and we will be at Jake's Burgers over in Fort Worth. So
all right.
Come out. We'll have Shiner specials and everything. I will actually be on the road, but Jake and Brennan will be there hanging with the Tolos. We'll be previewing all the big games, and we will have Tarleton State head coach Todd Whitten on the show. We did a interview with him earlier this week. Very interesting to talk to him about their transition from Division II football to FCS and success that they've had this year. They're 7-0.
Wow.
Brother of former Cowboys tight end Jason Whitten.
That's exactly right.
I don't know if that is right.
Carter looks handsome today.
Thanks, Corey.
That color looks good on you, man.
Appreciate reality. That. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought we were still.
That's a good reality right
thought
there.
We're still doing that. All right.
What?
Now, I know we talked about this maybe a month or so ago, and mock drafts are ridiculous at this point, but ESPN had Mendoza from Indiana as number one, and I wanted to see, not to say that you weren't a fan, but you weren't like the biggest Mendoza and the NFL guy in the world. What have you seen from him this year, and how do you think he could translate as an NFL quarterback?
I still wonder about the NFL transition, and I wonder if he's number one right now because the other guys we expected to be really good have not been good.
Fair.
And they might need more development, and someone has to be the number one overall quarterback, right? And usually with the first pick, it's going to be a QB. And
right.
Mendoza's been good for sure. And Indiana, top to bottom, is looking awesome.
Yes.
Them going to Oregon and beating them by double digits and responding the way that they did, because Mendoza threw a pick six that let Oregon tie that game. Indiana just marched right down the field, scored again, kicked that field goal to win like that. So I think from a leadership perspective, yeah, there's a lot of things with Mendoza you can like. But as far as like a franchise quarterback goes, I'm not quite there yet.
Now, how bad was it for non-SEC college football fans when the ratings came out for those game, for that game in particular? Because if you look at this weekend, I talked about it. I thought that on the national stage, Indiana and Oregon was the number one game, had the most at stake and everything like that. You look at the viewership, Texas, Oklahoma, 8.7 million. Alabama, Missouri, 7 million. Even Georgia, Auburn, 6.7 million. Indiana and Oregon, 5.6 million. So it's even a million drop from Georgia, Auburn, which, let's be honest, that was not the most relevant college football game of the weekend. How tough is that for non-SEC fans to be like, hey, you had a humongous game, and people were like, eh.
I think it's fun to look at the TV ratings and realize that these games are on ABC and they're on ESPN and they're going to get the most like buzz. They're going to get the most previews, the most discussion, right? But I don't know. At the end of the day, it's like
CBS is a real network.
It is. And the CBS and Big Ten connection still doesn't resonate with me.
Okay.
Because I hear the CBS music for college football that I love and I immediately think SEC. So I think in a way, maybe that connection for people isn't there yet where it's like, oh, this is the big matchup for the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Big Ten, right, that they're putting at this time, because the 2:30 slot has always been the CBS's big game. That's when they always had it. And
yeah,
with the ESPN and ABC now having the SEC and kind of dominating pretty much all three time slots, that does make it tough. But I don't know. It's one of the biggest like ruses that anyone's ever pulled is to make people care about TV ratings. Because I don't care about TV ratings, because I'm with you. Indiana-Oregon was so much more important to the grand scheme of things than I think OU-Texas will be, especially the way OU played. Like, if OU had won, I might have been like, okay, watching them beat Texas, that could lead to something later down the line. Now we still have questions about both of those teams, and we're like, okay, Indiana might go undefeated the rest of the season.
Right.
I think there's a much deeper discussion, maybe not for right now, about TV ratings and what you just said. I think there's a much... Because who should care about them? The people that are buying the product to sell.
Personally, and this is where we might break away. I think that the teams and the schools kind of do need to care about them.
But do you?
Kind of. And because one of the reasons is I think that ends up we've seen make a difference in your monetary package for the conference, which trickles down to the school.
Not with the Big Ten, though. If we want to talk about the Big 12 and the ACC or even some of the Group of Five conferences, yes. But if you're talking the SEC and the Big Ten, they're fine. Plus, the Big Ten's talking about this $2 billion private equity deal that Michigan and USC might be trying to nix. Like, and we'll get into this with James Franklin and the contract stuff, right? Because it's always about money. I understand that.
Sure.
But when you're talking about the two big dogs, I don't think the ratings matter at all.
I think I understand what Kevin's saying here, though.
Oh, we don't have to agree.
This is this is where Kevin definitely diverges, because much like Rotten Tomatoes, he needs a percentage of numbers to tell him if something is watchable or not.
But it's also important to go in depth and read the actual reviews.
Oh, I know.
Something could have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, but they could all be B minuses, right?
I had a conversation with Reggie about this once, and I look at that more and more. Some of the critics were like, hey, it was fun. Did it make a lot of sense? Not really. Thumbs up. Yeah. And I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
Was that the most positive review in the world? I don't know about that. All right.
Sorry to diverge.
Back to college football. Then what do you think of this, the very shadowy kind of hedge fund capital investment into the Big Ten, where they're like, no, they don't own part of it necessarily, but maybe they kind of sort of do. I'm giving you $2 billion. It ain't for nothing. So, like, what do you think of this potential deal, which feels like it would start a trend?
It seems like it would be good in the short term, because each school would get, what, like $100 million dollars, like, immediately. Like, yes. You know, all 18 schools in the Big Ten get this. But, yeah, you're splitting up parts of your conference, of your TV deal, of your networks, of whatever, to multiple different parties. Well, they're going to want different things. And later down the line, and I know I said the Big Ten and the SEC, it probably doesn't matter, like, ratings, because they'll always be fine with money. But at some point, if they're not getting their return on investment, well, why don't we just cut Northwestern? Because they're not pulling their weight, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that is a possibility if you invite this in. And that's, I think, part of reading why USC and Michigan, they played last weekend, I guess their executives met and said, this doesn't seem as good long-term as they might want us to think it is. So it's not like it's not a set in stone this is going to happen. I think there is going to be a little bit of pushback. And I know there's a meeting of Big Ten ADs and executives some point later, either today or maybe later this week. But I think shadowy is a good word for it, which you use. Like, it just does seem very, like, murky as to how this could eventually go.
Now, I want to stick in that conference and get to Penn State in just a second. But before that, we didn't really talk too much about Ohio State on Tuesday.
Because they're boring.
Yeah, that's okay.
Like, with all due respect to Ohio State, they're not fun to watch.
But
because of the teams they play, they dominate them on both offense and defense. But it's not a fun style of offense and defense.
Do you think, that aside, which I'm not disputing, do you think they've already kind of hit their growth spurt? Because they did have to change over a lot of people. Now, I know no one is sitting there saying, oh, poor Ohio State, how are they ever going to find talent? But it can be difficult to, just because you've got a high star recruit, to bring him in. Do you feel like they've already hit their growth spurt, or are you still waiting for more varied competition to make that determination?
I don't think so, because I look at week one, where Ohio State and Texas came in at similar points, Texas had a much bigger issue with adjusting to that versus Ohio. And I know they only scored 14 points in that game. Texas may only end up going, you know, they might lose three or four games, right? But I think in that moment, watching Ohio State go up against the number one team in the country at that point and shut them down on offense for 58 minutes of that game.
Right.
That was, you know, good to see then. And they've only continued to get better over the course of the season. But they have the best player in the country, Jeremiah Smith, and I don't want to watch him. Like, it's so funny. I think it was David Ubbin from The Athletic was on a podcast recently talking about this. Like, they're so uninteresting, but they're so damn good that you have to pay attention to them.
Now, sticking with the conference, the story that was the huge college story, go ahead and give me cut number 9, will you please?
With Penn State needing to win out if they want any thought of the playoff. With Aller on the sideline, it's Grunkemeyer. On a 4th-and-3, he takes off. Drunkenmeyer, his puck short. Northwestern gets there again.
That was the team Carter was just talking about cutting. Now, I know you just used that
Penn State,
example.
Yeah, Penn State maybe is a team we should cut.
All right, so they lose. Drew Aller out for the season. I have questions about what his football future is going to look like. And then the concept of James Franklin. Now, I know A&M certainly took this to the next level with coach buyouts with Jimbo Fisher. But I don't want to pretend like that's when outrageous buyouts started. It might have taken a huge jump. But, like, how did we get to this place where A&M, $75 million, where Penn State, $56 million, or whatever it is? is like, I will pay you all of this money. Our boosters will pay you all this money to just go away.
So it was really in like the late 2010s, early 2020s was when a lot of sitting coaches started leaving their jobs for other schools, right? Like you saw Lincoln Riley go right. to USC, Brian Kelly go to LSU. So things like that. And I remember around that time, that's when James Franklin signed his big extension at Penn State because they were afraid USC was going to poach him. So at that point, the coaches have the leverage and they say, well, you know, if you give me this, I'm more than happy to stay, right? And the schools don't want to lose. They don't want to lose the PR battle by losing their coach, right? And Penn State had a ton of success under him too. So they give him that huge, you know, deal at the time. That was also a time of pre-NIL. So you're not worrying about, hey, yeah. every extra million I give my head coach, that's a million less I don't have to give to players that I can go get in the portal. Or recruits that I can, you know, lure to my school with money, right? So it's kind of, we're between a rock and a hard place where like NFL quarterback salaries, they just keep skyrocketing, right? They're not going to go back down. I have a hard time believing coaches are going to get less money than like the top of the market, like they're getting now, like the $10 to $11 million range. Maybe the buyouts will come down, but it is a really interesting conversation because schools are having to look at every different venue to try and save money or get more money so they can put into their roster that they've never had to before.
Yeah. Now, Corey, back when you were in college, or hell, maybe now.
I was 30.
Okay. Well,
I was 29.
Would you be willing to pay money after you stormed the field? Because this is something that Dion said that I thought was funny. Is they got fined $50,000 and he was like, hey, if you're going to storm the field, chip in. So like, let's go high end, 5,000 people storm the field.
Oh yeah.
Would you be willing to pay $10 after the fact to storm the field?
Already paid. How much is a college? It's $25 for a college student. How much is a ticket?
I mean, it depends on the school, but I think pretty much all of them cost money now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. If UNT like had won the game and I paid $25 for that ticket and it's $35, I get to go storm the field and experience. I'm all right, Dion. Yeah, that's okay. Now, I still think the player safety is important. Like, I still think that's a very big deal. So can we figure out a way to let them clear the field before we take over?
No, that's never going to happen.
That's just what I'm I don't want to do it then.
Okay.
Get rid of it altogether.
Whoa, Carter, would you pay $10 to rush the field then?
We need to put nets up.
Keep all the foul fans off instead of the foul balls.
So they can't, like, there'd be a net right in front of you? Yep.
You know kids are going to try and climb over those nets,
They'll
right?
bring pocket knives and cut through them.
Well, they already did that at the Texas Tech-Kansas game this last weekend with pocket knives, right? Gosh, I don't know. I mean, for $10, yeah, I guess I could throw that in. But that's $10 that I could, you know, donate to my school's NIL fund, right?
Oh,
so I don't know.
Do you think you're?
Because then it's going to the fine.
Do y'all think you'll ever be in a position in life to have money to donate to an NIL fund?
No.
If I did, I would. There would be a building at OU named after me.
Like the Roy Williams workout facility they have there.
If I had a gajillion dollars, first I would start some charity for children, I think. But second, if they're like, you need to spend $5 million of this right now, I'm like, all right, well, name a building after me on OU's campus.
You know how like if you donate, they'll put your name on the wall or make a can. They would give me a sticker. They'd be like, you donated the $5. Here is your sticker.
Get a little
and it's
pin.
Not for you. It's just a sticker.
Hey, and if you do it for the next 10 years, we might give you a brick on the walkway all the way up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how little I value that. Yeah.
The brick. Yeah.
You'll make that walk all the way up to the top of the stadium.
Yeah, it's way up there.
How much do you guys care about Kensei Matsuzawa? He is probably better known in college football circles as the Tokyo Toe. He went 19 for 19 in field goals, and his popularity, I guess, has reached to the point that at first I was like, for real? They're streaming Hawaii's games live in Japan because of the fever around the Tokyo Toe.
Yeah, I remember it was during week zero of this season when Hawaii beat Stanford. That's when I first learned about him because they won that game on a walk-off field goal. And the whole talk during that game was, he learned how to kick from YouTube. So he doesn't, I mean, Japan doesn't have, they have college football.
Sure.
Not anywhere close to what we have here in the States, right? So.
Well, and his consecutive field goal made streak is a Hawaii record. It's a Mountain West record. Like, that's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. So not only is his story crazy, he's performing really well on the field, right?
And yeah.
The life of a kicker in the NFL can be so short that
yeah.
you know 100% he's going to get a chance.
Yeah. I think it's a really fun story. What is y'all's game of the weekend? Because I know SEC has a triple header of what feel like really important games in Ole Miss and Georgia, Bama and Tennessee, LSU and Vanderbilt. That one's really fascinating. Vanderbilt's the favorite. They're the home team. What's y'all's like game of the weekend?
Well, I'll go with the one I'm going to be at, which is USC at Notre Dame. I think that rivalry, this is potentially yeah. the last year
this will be awesome
that
you,
this
man.
Game could be played. There's a lot of talk where, because the Big Ten has a 9-game conference schedule, USC doesn't want to add in extra power, or, you know, Notre Dame's not in a conference, but they are a power team, right?
Yeah.
So they don't want to add in an extra one to their schedule to make things harder on them because, you know, why would you want to face competition, right?
Sure.
Or keep something that's been going on for 100 plus years. But that game, I think, is interesting because both of those teams do still have a shot at the playoff. Notre Dame has to win it if they're going to the playoff. I think Notre Dame absolutely needs to win out after losing their first two. But locally, we do have Baylor and TCU, which does seem a bit like an eliminator game in the Big 12.
Yeah.
TCU already has two conference losses. Baylor only has one because they haven't had a conference loss to Auburn. And also SMU goes to Clemson. And you guys know SMU still hasn't lost a conference game in the ACC. So their two losses were at a conference earlier this year.
Oh, wow.
To Baylor and TCU, but they're undefeated in the ACC. Didn't lose a game last year.
Yeah.
And I know Clemson's not the, you know, probably top five team we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season, but they're still the class of the ACC.
Right.
So this is a huge test for SMU to say, okay, we lost early in the year, but this is our time. Like, we are for real again, and we can go win in a place like Clemson.
Bloomington, Indiana.
What?
Where Indiana plays football against Michigan State.
Okay.
I know it's like probably not the biggest game, but.
No, I thought you were doing a weird thing where you were just naming cities. But okay.
Garland, Texas.
Yeah.
I like watching Kirk Cignetti. I'm watching him right now. He's up on the screen. And I just think he's an interesting fella.
Hold on. Is the halftime lead up
yes.
your Super Bowl on
Absolutely.
That? Where you're like, I got to see what he's going to say.
Yeah, it could be the weirdest conversation ever. Like at his post game when he was like, I'm stunned. I have no clue.
Him being on Pat McAfee, too. That's the second potential future Penn State head coach they've had on because they had on Matt Rhule from Nebraska earlier.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Which is that an upgrade? From James Franklin to Matt Rhule?
Nope.
You know Matt Rhule's record against top 25 teams, 2-23?
That's bad.
It's not good.
Feels like he'll fit right in.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Carter. 9-11 Fan University this weekend. You go see him at Jake's in Fort Worth. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring Cordy Major.
Kevin, there is a story that you want to hear, and it's about OpenAI.
Yes.
And erotica. Next to The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
it. Can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.